Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Sensemaker.
Hi, I'm Claudia, and this is Sensemaker, one story every day to make sense of the world. You've probably heard me say this before, but let me take a brief moment to tell you about Tortoise. That's the startup newsroom I work in and where we do slow news, not breaking news. We make podcasts, like this one, but we also do bigger investigations, like a recent one into the dark world of the online porn industry. You can listen to that by searching for the Slow Newscast. And because anyone in the world can join us as a member, we also have live events where we figure out what to cover and how. So anyway, if you like the sound of that and if you're fed up of listening to ads, go to tortoisemedia.com/join us and sign up. This August, you can join for just £1 a week, which is 40% off our usual price. Everyone's welcome. Now, on to today's episode, the mental health crisis in American police forces and why their families are being left behind. And just a warning, this episode contains references to suicide. At 2:38 p.m. on the 6th of January, Erin Smith received a text message from her husband. It read, "London has fallen." It was a reference to a film which follows a plot to assassinate world leaders as they attend a funeral in Britain. But Erin Smith's husband wasn't in London. He was a patrolman who'd been deployed to defend the US Capitol from a violent mob. And not long after he sent that text message, Erin Smith's husband was hit on his face shield and helmet with a flying object during the Capitol riot. Despite being hit, he carried on working, and after the riot, he was told to guard a hotel where members of the mob were staying.
This afternoon, I announced a citywide curfew for the District of Columbia beginning at 6 p.m. this evening, going until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. During the curfew, no...
But he began feeling pain in his neck and in his face, and eventually a sergeant sent him to check in at the police and fire clinic. After a few hours, Erin Smith's husband arrived home with some ibuprofen. But she says in the days after, her husband slipped into a deep depression. He became uncharacteristically angry. He had no interest in walking their dog, and he stopped his daily calls to his parents. Despite all that, after another visit to the clinic just over a week later, he was cleared for returning to work. Erin Smith's husband never made it back to work. He shot himself in his car whilst driving on the George Washington Parkway on the way to his shift. He used his service weapon. He was the second officer to take their own life following the Capitol riot in January. And since his death, two more officers on the Capitol that day have also died by suicide. Now, it's obviously really difficult to directly tie their deaths to the insurrection, but congressional representatives believe that because of the mental stress caused by the riots, their deaths should be considered job-related. But under current law, death by suicide is not considered a line-of-duty death. And because of that, families of police officers who take their own lives, well, they're not given the financial benefits they'd get if an officer had, for example, been shot and killed by a suspect. So the Capitol riots and the tragic fact that now four officers there that day have taken their own lives raises an important question. Should these police officers be considered as dying in the line of duty?
The world's largest organization for police says it's fighting a mental health crisis with an increasing number of suicides by officers. Nationwide, 100...
Suicide in the police force is a growing problem in the United States. In 2019 alone, 228 officers took their own lives, a number that's most likely underreported. It's estimated that the number of officers who died by suicide is more than triple the number fatally injured in the line of duty.
Officers don't want to go home and burden their spouse with the ugliness they've encountered the last 8 or 10 hours. These officers see more evil in the course of a 10-hour tour than most anybody sees in a lifetime.
Like Erin Smith's husband, they see a lot. Here's Karen Solomon, the co-founder of Blue Help, which promotes suicide prevention for police officers.
The thing is, you know, an officer never really takes off his uniform. They can't always just shut it down and go home. Someone got in their face tonight, or they saw somebody dead tonight, or they resuscitated somebody and saved their lives. So all of that stuff.
But it's not just police officers who are suffering. U.S. military deaths by suicide are also stark.
Based on the reports they have and the numbers that I've calculated, between 2001 and 2019, during the time of the global war on terror, my approximation is there's 115,000 veterans who have died by their own hands.
That's Charles Smith. He was in the military for more than 15 years, and so he's seen his fair share of suicide by fellow veterans. But, and it's a big but, there is a key difference in how the families of the dead are treated. The US military commonly awards benefits to families of soldiers who take their own lives. In fact, the military treats more than 90% of suicides as line of duty deaths. So there's a clear discrepancy. And even in the police force, they do recognise the physical dangers of the job. In Florida, if a police officer dies of a heart attack, well, that's assumed to be a death in the line of duty because of the stress of the job. And that's why Erin Smith is asking for change. And it seems as if people are really beginning to listen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the US House of Representatives, has said that if police leaders do not approve line-of-duty benefits for those who took their own lives after the riot, then Congress will look for ways to change the law. And within the police, leaders are beginning to encourage officers to talk about their mental health.
Cops have to know that there are avenues for help, and it's not a weakness to ask for help.
The odds of receiving financial benefits are still stacked against Erin Smith. But for her, it's more about getting dignity for her husband. If the world can recognise that he died in connection with what he experienced on January the 6th, it might just help open up the conversation about policing and the mental health of frontline officers. Today's story was written and produced by Imi Harper.
The Sensemaker.
Hello, I'm Jeevan Vasiga. I'm climate editor at Tortoise and host of a new podcast called Counter Crisis from the Centre for Disaster Protection, a UK government-funded international organisation which works to change how the world plans and pays for disasters. If you follow the news, you'll know that more people than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. War and climate change are affecting millions, but the solutions haven't really kept pace. Finance is key. We saw during the pandemic that the countries that found it easiest to borrow money were the most able to respond, and not the countries that were the most affected. Across 3 episodes, covering disasters, the losses caused by climate change, and our response to disease outbreaks, I'm going to try and make sense of this. Why are the current ways we respond to crises inadequate? And how can we do better? I'll be speaking to experts to rethink the recovery from crisis and find out why prearranged finance can help get aid where it's needed. You can listen now. Search for Counter Crisis wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.